Should Congress approve a hike in the federal minimum wage to $10.10 per hour? That's today's big question. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, February 26th. We have two guests who have opposing views on our big question, as we do just about every Wednesday at this time. They will give us the pros and cons of raising the minimum wage. And your questions and views are welcome, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guests. Very happy to have with us Raul Reyes, an attorney and columnist in New York City. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Tom Giovanetti. He is president of the Dallas-based Institute for Policy Innovation. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks to both of you for joining us for the big question. Raul, it's your side that is calling for an increase in the minimum wage, so let's start with you. In your opening statement, why isn't $7.25 an hour enough?
Well, excuse me. To me, I see this as a very simple issue where, you don't need to necessarily be an economist or business leader to figure it all out. Most Americans know someone who even themselves who have worked at minimum wage and know that in 2013, it is just not enough to get by, to live a productive life and still save and be independent. As I see it, raising the minimum wage, it's an anti-poverty program that comes with no administrative costs. It's self-enforcing. It increases the quality of life for the poorest people among us. And it also gives a jump start, a kick to our economy. So I think for all those reasons, we should do it. And also because when we look at the big picture, raising the minimum wage also goes towards reducing the income inequality that is plaguing this country.
We'll talk in more depth about those various reasons. But Tom, you wrote a blog entry earlier this year that was called "Why Raising the Minimum Wage is a Bad Idea." What's so bad about it?
Joy, it's a terrible idea, and I think it's interesting that Mr. Reyes immediately sort of deflects away from being an economist, because almost all of the economic arguments here are against raising the minimum wage. There are so many, I hope we get to touch on them over the course of the program. The key concept for people to understand is that the minimum wage is the price of labor. Well, any wage or any salary is the price of labor. So the same way when you go to the grocery store and pay, I don't know, $1.99 for a pint of strawberries, that's the value of those strawberries. And in the same way, in a capitalist economy, when we work, we sell our labor to our employer. And the wage we earn or the salary we earn is the price or value of our labor. And the fact of the matter is, Joy, that there are plenty of people in our economy, the very low skilled, the very low experienced, the very young, whose labor is simply not worth $10.10 an hour. And so when the government, imagine what would happen if the government set a price that said strawberries could only be sold for $10.10 an hour. What would happen? It would actually reduce the sale of strawberries, because you would have priced strawberries out of some people's reach. Well, if you set the minimum wage at $10.10 an hour, you are reducing employment, as even the CBO has recently acknowledged, because you're pricing some people out of the labor market. There are some people, including myself when I was 17, whose hour is simply not worth $10.10 an hour. And if you essentially do a price control on low-skilled labor, you price some people's labor out of the market, and that's why the minimum wage destroys jobs.
Let me we'll go to both of those points that you made. The CBO report showed that raising the minimum wage would increase earnings for 16.5 million people, but would cost the nation about 500,000 jobs. Raul, with so many people out of work already, wouldn't this just add to an already bad unemployment problem?
Well, anytime you're talking about an economic policy choice, no matter what the issue or the field is, you are going to have winners and losers. Nothing, there are very, very, very few things that are, say, zero-sum cost. So the idea is to find something that has the most winners and the fewest losers. And so, yes, they do project that we might be losing these jobs. But, for example, people who receive a higher minimum wage, These are people, now, to put it in the simplest terms, people who are making minimum wage, if they receive an extra few dollars an hour, they're spending it immediately. This is money that that goes right back into the economy. So that's helping their local store, the local bank, their car payment. That money is going right back into the economy. So there is a spillover effect. And Mr. Giovannetti mentioned, being a teenager and working at minimum wage, minimum wage, in most places in the country, minimum wage is $7.25 an hour. In some states, it's a little higher. If you work 40 hours a week at minimum wage with no vacation, you earn $15,080 a year. And I just don't think that's a living wage for anyone in the United States in 2013. And I don't think people who are working full time deserve to still live in poverty. And by the way, these people, let's talk just for a second about who makes minimum wage, because we often think of the stereotype of teenagers. I mean, like, I worked minimum wage jobs when I first out of school. 90% of the people who make minimum wage are over 20. 35% of them are married. 28% of them are parents. So how can these people get by on $15,000 a year?
How can they get by on $15,000 a year, Tom? How can they contribute to the economy at that salary?
Well, obviously they can't. Mr. Ray has just made two arguments, and I hope to have a chance to address both of them. Obviously, they can't get by on the minimum wage. The minimum wage is not and was never intended to be a living wage. It was intended to be a starter wage. It's intended to be a wage where people, it's the bottom rung on the economic ladder. It gives you a chance to develop a work ethic. It gives you a chance to learn how to work, to learn what an employer expects of you, to learn how to show up on time for work, to learn how to get along with your fellow employees, to learn how to take instructions from an employer. That's what the minimum wage is for. And as harsh as it may sound, if you are 35 years old and trying to raise a family on the minimum wage, you have made a series of terrible decisions that put you in that situation. No one under any normal situation is trying to raise a family on the minimum wage. So if you're doing that, you have dropped out of high school, you have had an unwed pregnancy when you were 16, you've made a series of terrible decisions that have put you in that situation. The minimum wage was never designed to be a living wage. But the crucial economic fallacy that Mr. Ray has made, and that many people make when they're thinking of the minimum wage, is they forget that there are no economic spillover benefit effects from raising the minimum wage, because that money came from somewhere. And these arguments are all based on the idea that when you raise the minimum wage, that money somehow magically appeared out of nowhere. That money is taken from someone to be given to someone else in the form of a wage increase. That money was already going to be spent. So picture a small business like a pet shop or something like that. If you suddenly, by legal law, pass a price control on labor, and you say everyone who works in this shop is now going to get a $4 or a $3 pay increase, that money doesn't magically appear. That money is taken from other things that were going to be spent. Maybe that person now has to reduce the number of employees in order to keep his labor costs fixed. Maybe that employer was going to go out and spend that money in other ways, in growing his business or in opening a second business across town on the other side of town. That money did not magically appear from somewhere, Joy. That money was first taken from someone in order to give those wage increases. So that money was already going to go to work in the economy.
Let me jump in because we have to take a quick break, and then we will continue talking about today's big question. Should the minimum wage be raised? And we'll take more of your calls and views on this question as well. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Big Question on the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine with Cynthia Schuster. We are here to ask you for your support of the programs you enjoy. Your support makes high-quality, commercial-free programs on WPR possible. And when you pledge today, you will be entered into a drawing for an iPad Air. So now is a great time to support the programs that you value, like The Big Question, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last hour, we heard from 25 listeners listeners. Thank you so much for those pledges. The goal now is to get 55 pledges by 8 o'clock. These goals are set to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the money to pay for the programs that you rely on. Help meet that goal with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Every day, our team works hard to bring you a great morning of radio. And that's a pleasure because we know that you are curious and intelligent, and we also know that you like to have fun and enjoy all that Wisconsin has to offer.
Thank you for being a great audience and for being the reason why we do what we do. And you can give one more thing, which is your financial support. Your support makes these mornings possible here on the Ideas Network. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Giving to WPR is super easy. All we need is your name, some contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how you'd like to pay for it.
Save money and time. Use a credit card if you can. Make a one-time gift. Or better yet, you can start automatic, sustaining donations directly from your bank account. You choose how much to give, and then you do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I listen to WPR because it's informative, it's up-to-date, it's current, it's intelligent, thoughtful, inclusive. I would encourage everybody listening to become a sustaining member of WPR because public radio is essential. I became a sustaining member of WPR because it seemed the easiest way to make a solid donation. It's kind of like saving up for Christmas presents. If you do a little bit over time, all of a sudden you look at it over a year and it's an okay amount to say, it's not a lot, but it's what I can do. I'm Jean from Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
Well, way to sustain Jean. What a wonderful present. Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine with Cynthia Schuster, and we're asking for your support during this winter pledge drive. Maybe your gift is $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you've never given before, here's what to expect. It's a short process. It only takes a few minutes. You answer some basic questions like your name, your address, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay for it.
And that's all there is to it. Make your first donation right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Make your first donation, perhaps, to WPR. You'll really feel good about it.
And if you're thinking that your tax dollars, your federal and state tax dollars, already support Wisconsin Public Radio, you're right, they do, and we thank you for that.
But contributions from individual listeners make the quality and variety of programs on WPR possible. Listener support is actually the single biggest piece of our budget pie. You make all the difference. Because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the radio programs that you value at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you might be wondering, how much should I give? Well, that's entirely up to you. Your contribution of any amount will be turned into great programs, programs that will keep you informed and entertained.
I think you should give $1,000. How does that sound? You can make your pledge in any amount right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And there's no pledge that's too small, no pledge that's too big. It's absolutely, completely up to you. Thanks to Richard and Joyce from Marathon, who did pledge this morning, and they said, we are excited to get in on the iPad drawing. Thank you so much. That's right. Everybody who pledges gets entered into this drawing for an iPad Air. Cynthia, I'm not sure what an iPad Air is. Is it different than an iPad?
I was wondering the same.
We'll find out. I thought because you're with it that you would know.
Yeah, I know. Well, not that with it, I guess.
And thanks to Kathy and Ann from Appleton, who say, I love listening to the morning programs as I get ready for work and on my drive into work. Thank you so much. Make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We'll hear from Cynthia a little bit later. We'll see how we're doing toward that goal of 55 pledges during this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with two guests from different viewpoints on today's big question. Should we raise the minimum wage to $10.10 an hour? We have a guest who says yes. He is Raul Reyes, an attorney and columnist in New York City, and a guest who says no. He's Tom Giovanetti, president of the Dallas-based Institute for Policy Innovation. Let's take a call from Carl in Madison. Hi, Carl.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to say, hear a lot of false assumptions coming from your guest who is against raising the minimum wage. We face a tremendous and growing wealth gap in this country. And frankly, if minimum wage in this country had kept pace with productivity of the American worker, which is the value that people produce, if it kept pace with increasing productivity since the 60s, today it would be over $21 an hour. Looking at that, I think that $10.10 is still a poverty wage. You can't raise a family. You can't support yourself on $10.10 an hour very well. And I think it's a disingenuous attempt by Democrats to head off the demand for $15 an hour that has been being made by fast food workers for more than a year.
Carl, thanks very much. Because we're short on time, let's get Tom to respond first. You've already talked about how the minimum wage was not intended to be a living wage for families. But what about that? This really is a poverty level wage. In 1960, the minimum wage bought more than it does now.
Joy, I've already granted that the minimum wage is not intended to be a wage that you can raise a family on. I'm happy to grant that point. I gleefully grant that point because that's not the intention. I also want to address the point that the assumption that the caller made that somehow the minimum wage should have kept up with worker productivity, what he fails to take into account is if we had, for instance, had the minimum wage indexed somehow to where it would be $20 or $30 an hour right now, that probably would have reduced that growth in productivity because businesses would have been spending more money on low-skill labor instead of investing that money in new technology, new equipment, that sort of thing. The reason that productivity has gone up so much over the past several decades has been the businesses have been able to invest in growth and they've been able to invest in worker training. If we had forced them to overpay low-skilled wages, they would not have had as much money to invest, and my guess is productivity would not have grown as much as it did.
Let's get Raul in on this. What about that?
Well, actually, I agree with the caller. I think the minimum wage should actually be higher than $10.10 because, as he mentioned, it's an improvement, but still, it's not necessarily minimum wage. It's not necessarily a living wage. So I actually think it's an important first step, but I don't think that that's where ultimately the discussion should end. And I will say this. I am in agreement with something Mr. Giovanetti mentioned earlier. He said maybe it was a little bit harsh, but he believed that the people who are working, these adults who are working at minimum wage now, it's a result of their life decisions or dropping out of high school or things happen to them, all those reasons. And I do agree that that is very harsh because I can tell you, when I go and visit my cousins in Texas, I go to Walmart, I go to Home Depot, and many veterans work there. These are men in their 30s and 40s who have served their country, and they are working at Walmart, and they're doing a great job. And I don't think that they have made bad life choices. I don't think less of them because they're earning minimum wage. I think they deserve more so they can live life with dignity. And also, I will also flip this for you, Joy. There's a conservative argument for raising the minimum wage. If we raise the minimum wage and people have more money in their own pocketbook, that means less people on welfare. That means less people on food stamps. That means less people on unemployment. So isn't that a worthy goal?
In a minute, is that a worthy goal, Tom?
It's not. And the reason it's not, again, is that this analysis only looks at one side of the equation. Of course, a wealth transfer is great for the recipient. Everyone loves this. When you rob Peter to pay Paul, of course Paul likes it and Paul thinks it's great. But again, no one's looking at the other side of the ledger. No one's looking to say what you're doing is you are taking money from business owners, you're taking money from the people who have it, and transferring it to people who don't have it in the form of a minimum wage. Now, we already do lots of wealth transfers in this country, but we do them legitimately. We call it welfare. We call it food stamps. We call it this myriad of anti-poverty programs that we have. Recently, we have learned that the poverty rate is higher today than it was in the 60s when we started the war on poverty. We are bankrupting the country. We have spent trillions of dollars on anti-poverty programs that have done almost no good in this country.
We can pick up on that point after the news. We are talking about the minimum wage and whether you want Congress to pass a hike in the minimum wage from the current $7.25 an hour to $10.10 an hour. Do you believe it would help or hurt the economy and society? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Do you support or oppose hiking the federal minimum wage to $10.10 an hour? That's today's big question, and we'll get to more of your questions and views about it in just a few minutes. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Wednesday, February 26th. Cynthia Schuster joins me to encourage you to make a gift to Wisconsin Public Radio during this, our winter pledge drive. Your pledge of any amount will automatically enter you into a drawing for an iPad Air. So make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're hoping to get 43 pledges in the next 25 minutes or so. Your pledge right now helps keep the program going strong, so make your contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Listening to the Ideas Network is a lot like going out for coffee with a friend. It's enjoyable. It's informative. It piques your curiosity.
But someone has to pay for it. You make this daily cup of coffee on the Ideas Network possible with your financial support. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You probably listen to Wisconsin Public Radio year-round. Now donate the same way you listen, by becoming a sustaining member. Make a decision that this one time, and you will make affordable contributions of, say, $10 a month for as long as you wish.
It's easy on the budget, and it cuts down on paperwork. So don't delay. Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You won't agree with all of the opinions that you hear from our callers or from our guests on Wisconsin Public Radio, but that's actually a good thing. It means that you're hearing many different points of view and that you are becoming fully engaged in a real discussion.
And it means that you're better informed about the issues because you've heard different perspectives. You can count on WPR for this kind of experience. We're listener-supported, and your gift right now keeps this diversity of opinions on the radio. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I think the main thing for me that Wisconsin Public Radio is just this comforting thing, as well as the information in the news. It's something that I start with my day with and I end my day with, and I just find so much pleasure in listening to the stories that are told, and really appreciate the in-depth way that the news is told, that it's not just a headline. There's much more to it, and I really feel like I get an understanding of the issues of the day from Wisconsin Public Radio.
And you can make a pledge to support that in-depth view at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine with Cynthia Schuster, and we are asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio, your gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 will help pay for the programs you value.
And everyone who pledges today will be entered in a drawing for an iPad Air. You could be the lucky winner with any amount. And by the way, we looked up the difference between an iPad Air and the iPad 2.
Thank you, Cynthia.
Slightly lighter, has a higher resolution, so you might see more vibrant colors on the display, and an HD camera. So those are some of the distinctions. Not all of them, but a few. That can be yours if you win in our drawing today with a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552.
You don't have to pledge to participate. You can send a postcard with your name, address, email, and telephone number to WPR iPad Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. So you can enter by sending in a postcard, or it'll be really easy to enter by making a pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Again, looking for 41 pledges now in the next 20 minutes. You can get your pledge in. Help us meet our goals at 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
Thanks very much. If you have made your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, thanks to Tony from Athens, who says, I listen from work every day to stay informed and to keep my mind engaged. Deborah from Plover says, I pledge because I want to have the programs I love continue. Well, that's so very nice. David from Stevens Point says, I always learn something new listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. Just some of the reasons why people are pledging their support to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks, Cynthia. We'll talk to you later. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with two guests from different perspectives about whether or not we should raise the federal minimum wage to $10.10 an hour. It's today's big question, and we are welcoming your input, too. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid had planned on calling a vote for early March on a bill to raise the minimum wage from the current $7.25 to $10.10 per hour, but he announced yesterday that that's going to be delayed because of Republican opposition, I think he said. Instead, we might have a vote later in March or maybe even in April. So do you want Congress to pass a hike in the minimum wage or not? Do you believe it would lift people out of poverty, help the economy? Or do you fear it would mean fewer jobs and higher prices? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guests are Raul Reyes, an attorney and columnist in New York City who supports raising the minimum wage, and Tom Giovanetti, president of the Dallas-based Institute for Policy Innovation, who opposes raising the minimum wage. We have so many callers. Let me go to Judy and Ripon next. Hello, Judy.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I've got several important points, so I'm going to try to keep it succinct. Tom, when you made the comment about people who, I'm a small business owner, so I have some credibility here. I'm also growing my business this year. I'm in support of raising the minimum wage. Tom, the man who said that people have made a series of bad decisions, I'm successful today because I was born to white middle-class parents with a mother who stayed at home. I wasn't worried about my lunch money being stolen or dodging bullets on my way to school. These kids are not making bad decisions. These kids are put there, and I bet he calls himself a Christian, and, you know, if this releases him from any compassion he has, if he just says, oh, too bad, they made bad decisions, oh, yeah. Well, let's move on.
Judy, what about adults that are, I mean, he was saying that it's not meant to be a family-sustaining wage.
Because I'm also a nurse, and I see adults that have had those incidences in their lives. Those things follow them. But that is a topic for another day. The thing that's not going to do well for businesses is not raising the minimum wage. Raising the minimum wage will cause my prices to go up slightly, okay? That's not a big deal to me. What's causing my prices to go up slightly, and this is a transfer of wealth, okay? He referred to a transfer of wealth. When someone purchases fabric from me in yarn, they swipe, and they give me a credit card to swipe, and it's a frequent flyer swipe, frequent flyer card that I swipe. That takes 5% from me. 5% of that.
Yeah, that's getting us off topic too. But you know, because then it turns into an argument over whether credit card fees should be charged. However, she's saying that she supports raising the minimum wage, Tom. That she is a business owner and feels that you know, that this is not going to hurt her business to raise the minimum wage.
Well, here's the great thing about our country, Joy. She can pay her workers more if she wants to. But if she supports a national federal minimum wage, she wants to impose that value on a small business down in Mississippi, where the cost of living is significantly lower than it is in Wisconsin, and onto businesses who may not be able to afford it as easily as she can. So I just want to point out that this is magical thinking, that somehow all these wonderful benefits will magically flow from raising the minimum wage and that this is cost-free. Joy, your producer sent me a copy of this study that's circulating in Wisconsin about all these thousands of jobs that would be created and all these wonderful things that would happen if the minimum wage were raised in Wisconsin. And, Joy, this is magical thinking that this happens at no cost. If this were true, if it really were true that you could deliver all of these benefits and all of these anti-poverty effects to people at no cost simply by raising the minimum wage, then of course we should do it. But the problem is that these studies are wrong, that there are costs to doing this. There are significant costs to doing this. And when you cut off that bottom rung of the ladder to that young worker in Louisiana or Mississippi, where the minimum wage probably ought to be about $4 an hour, and you've just raised it up to 10, you have hurt that person for the rest of his life through your intention to do good.
What about that, Raul?
Well, with all due respect, I think it's, to me, it is magical thinking that Mr. Giovanetti thinks that someone in Louisiana or Mississippi could get by on $4 an hour. I mean, I'm a little speechless by that, but even at the current minimum wage, and I've been to Mississippi several times, it is very difficult to live in Mississippi. They have lower housing costs. The prices are lower. It is still very difficult to live there on $15,000 a year, and he's floating the boat, the idea that we would do it less. That's a little shocking to me, but I want to point out something else on the other end of the spectrum. You know, most of the low-income earners, they work for companies, the minimum wage workers, they work for companies that with 100 or more employees, you know, bigger companies, corporations. And we look at companies like Walmart, which last year their profits were up 23%. McDonald's last year their profits were up 130%. So, for example, last year the CEO of McDonald's, he received $27 million as his salary. And that's not including other compensation in forms of bonuses or stock options. Another company that employs many, many minimum wage workers is Starbucks, and their CEO received $28 million in base salary, not excluding bonuses and stock options. So I just think it's criminal that we have such an incredible wealth gap with one small group of the country earning so much money. And I don't look at it as taking away the bottom ladder for the less fortunate among us or the poorer among us. I look at it as we are raising that ladder up to help them to get out of poverty.
Let's take another call from Bruce in Toma. Hello, Bruce.
Yes. Here's a suggestion or something that should be debated that's never been brought up before. I've never heard it yet. Why not increase minimum wage slightly, say, to $8 an hour, but more importantly, increase the exemption rate. When we file our taxes, we get like $6,150 this year. Why not raise that to, say, $9,000 or $10,000? You have the government involved here where we increase the exemption rate.
Well, I don't – what about – do you have a comment on that, Raul?
I'm not too familiar with that policy. I would support the idea. I mean, if there was no other option of raising it up at least to $8, as you mentioned.
Tom?
Joy, I think if we're going to do welfare programs, we should do welfare programs, and we should stop trying to impose upon small businesses and large businesses these sort of attempts to try to achieve anti-poverty ends. Labor is a market like everything else. And if I could go back to my strawberries comparison, we don't set prices on strawberries. We don't set prices on model trains. We don't set prices on laser printer toner, and we should not be setting prices on labor. We should let markets determine the compensation rate to labor. That's the way things should be done in a free market economy. We should not be trying to force businesses to get into the anti-poverty business. And again, because it's magical thinking to think that all of these benefits can come from nothing. And I want to point out to Mr. Reyes that I have thoroughly throughout this interview granted that you can't support a family on the minimum wage. For him to continue to bring up that point is interesting, but it doesn't make much progress in the discussion, because I've thoroughly granted that that's not the intention of the minimum wage. We would have to raise the minimum wage to $25 or $30 an hour to even get up in the neighborhood of where you could raise a family on it. Does anyone seriously believe that raising the minimum wage to $25 or $30 an hour would not have a devastating impact on the employment of low-skilled workers in this country?
We have to conclude the big question discussion, and I'd like to do that with having you talk a little bit about the politics of this proposal to hike the federal minimum wage. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid is predicting that Congress will act on this, though it's going to be delayed. And he is saying that he thinks they will go along with President Obama's proposal to hike the federal minimum wage to $10.10 an hour. Do you think that's going to happen, Raul?
Yes, I do. For one thing, the support among the public is there. Overall, 68% of the public supports raising the minimum wage. Now, when you break it down, that comes out to 85% of Democrats support it, 50% of Republicans support it. But that's actually a majority because 10% of Republicans say they have no opinion. So actually a majority of Republicans support it. And among independents, 65% of Americans support raising the minimum wage. So I think the support is there. Most people recognize, you know, it's just time to update this, update the wage. And, you know, honestly, I think most people at some time in their lives have worked minimum wage, and so they know what it's like. And when you think about the fact that over nearly 40 years, the minimum wage has really only gone up by about $5, I think the public recognizes that, and that's why they support it.
And what do you think, Tom? Will Congress pass a hike in the federal minimum wage?
They won't pass a hike in the minimum wage. I doubt it will pass the Senate. It certainly will not pass the House of Representatives. Now, the one caveat I will give is it's conceivable that they could raise it by some token amount as a give back on some larger thing, but it won't be anywhere near the $10.10 an hour that the president is asking for. And and the primary reason is that it makes no sense to have the same minimum wage in San Francisco that it does in Louisiana or Mississippi. If we're going to have minimum wages, they should at least be regional. As an example, the way Seattle has raised their minimum wage, while I think the economic arguments are against it, I think politically they have the right to do that, but they should not impose a $12 or $15 an hour minimum wage on other parts of the country where the cost of living is so dramatically lower.
We'll leave it there. Thank you both very much for being with us during this edition of our Big Question. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine with Cynthia Schuster. We are here to ask you to support the programs that you enjoy. Your support makes high-quality, commercial-free programs on Wisconsin Public Radio possible.
And when you pledge today, you'll be entered into a drawing for an iPad Air. Now is a great time to support the programs you value and get your name in for that drawing at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are looking for 27 pledges in the next 10 minutes or so. Thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, help us stay on track by making your contribution right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This hour, you've been enjoying The Big Question, asking whether the federal minimum wage should be raised. And this is an example, again, of some of the lively debates and discussions that you often hear right here on The Joy Cardine Show.
And I should have reminded listeners that every week during The Big Question, we post a poll online. And if you didn't get on the air to sound off with your opinion on today's Big Question, you can go online at WPR.org/joy. Take a few minutes now to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and then make your pledge. After you vote in The Big Question, you can pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When you listen to WPR, you can be assured that we always have your interests at heart. We can continue to serve our listeners and communities because of the support we receive from members, including the 550 members of WPR 9XM Leadership Circle.
9XM members support Wisconsin Public Radio with a gift of $1,200 a year or more. To make this leadership gift of $100 a month or a gift of any amount, go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
First of all, I really believe in what Wisconsin Public Radio does. When I would listen to the pledge drives every year, I would often think, oh yeah, I should call in, or go online and pledge, and then eventually I would do that. When it came around this year, I just thought, you know, this would be so much easier to just do a monthly donation sustaining public radio. Being a sustainer is good for me because I know that I'm doing my fair share. Even if it's not the largest contribution, it's a steady monthly contribution that I know is helping to keep the station on the air. I'm John from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
Thank you, John. You can make your donation in support of the programs that you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Curdine with Cynthia Schuster, asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during this winter membership drive. You can make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay for it.
And your gift will support the stories and the programs that keep you connected to the world. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 202-2552.
Joy and her team of producers work hard to stay on top of the issues and bring you the experts and newsmakers directly to your radio and to your telephone should you decide to call in and ask questions. You don't get opportunities like this anywhere else, and this show is made possible by your pledges of support on listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. You can show your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are still looking for 24 more pledges in the next 5 minutes or so. Your pledge right now will help pay for the programs that you count on all year long. Join Maggie from Madison, who says, I got a new job as a sales rep, so I'm driving a lot, and I have really been enjoying listening more to Wisconsin Public Radio in my car. I love Wisconsin Public Radio, and I'm happy to give because I really do get so much out of it. Thank you so much, Maggie. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, you can show off your WPR pride with a WPR logo t-shirt. It's yours for a pledge of $120. That's $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as an added bonus, make that pledge for $10 a month or $120 a year. Again, get the t-shirt if you want the t-shirt. You will also be automatically entered into this drawing for an iPad Air. And sustainers, if you are giving monthly donations, you are already covered. You are automatically entered into this drawing for an iPad Air. Just another reason to support Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks, Cynthia. And thank you so much if you have supported Wisconsin Public Radio. If not, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.